In our gathering prayer this morning, we prayed, "We gather in the name of our Easter God. Our risen Lord transforms darkness into light, hatred into tolerance, despair into hope." You notice how much time of our lives are a compromise between happiness and sorrow, joy and discouragement. This roller coaster kind of existence is a challenge to our faith sometimes, isn't it? And a denial of the peace of God which passes all understanding. And God knows this. The whole of Easter has been about equipping us with powerful faith tools to defeat the forces that would drag us down. There are post-resurrection stories of a group of defeated fishermen who end up going back their lives of fishing, only to discover the risen Jesus waiting for them to have breakfast with them. There are the travelers walking to Emmaus, encountering a stranger who turns out to be Jesus, who breaks bread with them, and they discover that their hearts are gladdened. These are experiences open to us, too. So where do these good things come from? You can't place an order on Amazon for them. Nope. But you can hear them, experience them, and find them in our faith community. The early Christians learned they could face persecution, possible trial, an arrest, and even execution because of the power of the resurrection they found in the Easter community. They also learned that what happened to them was of little account because they placed themselves under the gracious God who delivered them from the cloud of darkness in their lives. Today we hear about Lydia, a woman of obvious wealth. She made purple cloth, which was worn by high officials and nobility. And we hear how she embraces Paul's teaching, and she invites he and his friends to come to her home. She knows something is missing in her otherwise successful life, doesn't she? And when she hears about Jesus, she discovers an abundant God who fills the empty place in her heart, and she invites God in. We watch Jesus go to a pool named Bethsaida. Now, the name of this place, Bethsaida, means house of mercy, because it's supposed to be where people are healed. While there, Jesus sees a man who'd been paralyzed for 38 years. We just heard that. There's no way this man would ever walk again. Everybody knows that. If you weren't quick enough, strong enough, fast enough to get into that pool when it starts doing whatever it's doing, there's no chance. The weak were left with very little hope. But then, don't you like that, but then? But then, Jesus came to Bethsaida. The Lord of mercy came to the house of mercy. And he chose a man who had no chance of ever being healed. And he healed him. The Spirit will teach us how God desires and gives us the good things we need, even though we don't know what they are, or even how to ask for them. I heard recently of a man named Mark who started attending a church because his business was failing. He couldn't separate the business failure from his feelings that he was a failure as well. In a short while, the people who had been strangers began to talk with him and have coffee with him. Kind of sounds like our fellowship that we have after our services. And there was a woman there who had a small business, and she helped him design a business plan for his business. And within a year, his business started to make a profit. In a practical way, he was taught how God loved him, and through God's people, loved him and was given the right advice and guidance he needed. The Spirit will also remind us, especially when things are not going well, what really matters and to whom we belong. The faith community is the place where we are restored, not in just a feel-good way, but in the depths of our hearts. The sign of the cross, the hymns. If you don't like to sing, read the words. They're beautiful. I said this at the 8 o'clock service, and you know, they were like, huh? But they are reminders of how much we are loved and cherished and redeemed. I've heard it said, human beings solve problems. God redeems messes. Oh, thank you, Lord. All of us can fix something, right? But often messes overwhelm us. We are reminded, as the disciples were after the death of Jesus, that God redeems messes. And that includes each of us. Good things seem to have been turned into commodity. Have you noticed that? They're scarce. And you have to be able to pay for them now. At least that's what we're told by the ads and the stories in the news. Go to this doctor or that attorney or to this cancer clinic or to that or buy that appliance or this appliance for the comfort in your home, right? The list is endless and expensive. But God has another way that is based on abundance. God gives us what we need, always providing for us those things which cannot be bought or bargained for. They are things that endure, such things as hope, faith, love, fellowship, and friends. They're qualities like peace, wisdom, and courage. God gives us these gifts through the Spirit, and God also gives the ability to find them in others. You notice again how the cross is made, two beams, one straight up and down, one outstretched, our relationship with Christ, and through that, our relationship with others, and how we build on each other's wealth of peace and comfort and love and prayers and consolation and encouragement. So here are some ways you can, like Lydia, be faithful to the Lord and receive the abundance of good things that God has done for you. Number one, expect them. Expect them. The beloved, the one who created you, the one at whose birth the angels sang, loves you. So begin to expect these things, these good things. They're not earned as much as they are bestowed. And perhaps you have neglected to see them right in front of you, in the person you love, in your friends, with the people you work with the beauty that surrounds you in creation. The more you find yourself saying, God will bless this as it's intended, the more you'll see it happen. And you might even end your prayers with, thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. When you're discouraged or feeling alone, remember that this, even, is in part a gift from God as well. Because sometimes our experiences remind us how dependent we are on Him. Read our gathering prayer that we have had throughout this Easter season. The full gathering prayer every day for a week. Try it. You do that and you'll begin to see your attitude about the world and His creation change to a more positive and peaceful frame of mind. This week, the Episcopal Church honors Rogation Days, the days of planting and hallowing of creation. Plant something, a tree, a shrub, a seed, and nurture it. This will reconnect you with the earth and the blessings of creation, and it'll remind you of the blessings of creation, the rain, the sun, the soil, given by the Creator for us all. So determine you are going to reduce your contribution to the world's waste problem, and ask God to guide you in your actions so that it becomes a partnership with God and others. Lastly, expect more serenity in your life. Expect serenity. You heard it right. Expect it. Serenity is a quality often denied us, and so often we deny it from ourselves, don't we? God wants our lives to be lived in serenity, but we have to claim it as a gift. Recite the serenity prayer of God. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's powerful. That's powerful. And the good things that surpass our understanding are waiting to be claimed and celebrated by all of us. Awaken to their presence. Claim them as your spiritual inheritance and live them in witness to the risen Lord.